Good morning, brothers and sisters, and a pleasant morning to our visitors. We are again extremely happy and delighted that you are sharing in this very important moment with us as we seek to worship our Almighty God. God certainly deserves to be praised. Everything that we are and everything that we ever hope to be depends on the Almighty God. He's all powerful. And he knows everything about us, even more than we know about ourselves. We're living interesting times, and it would be remiss of me to speak to you this morning without mentioning what is occupying everybody's minds. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that there would be an incident so big, so as to displace COVID-19, even temporarily, as the number one news item, at least in the last several days. Let's not forget that over 100,000 people have already passed away since the virus started. Let us not forget that over 40 million Americans are now unemployed. Let us not forget that hundreds of businesses are struggling to survive, and many will not be back on stream, at least not anytime soon. And then came the killing of George Floyd, that is fresh on most, if not all, Americans' minds and those outside of the United States. It was not just that he was murdered, it was the way how he was murdered and the multiplicity of incidents that are not all that different from what happened to George Floyd that has taken place over the decades. We think of Ahmaud Arbery, shot and killed as he jogged through Brunswick, Georgia. Breonna Taylor, who was killed by police in Louisville, Kentucky, during a police raid. How can we in Chicago forget Sandra Bland, who is from Chicago but died in Texas, after being pulled over for failing to indicate that she was changing lanes. Laquan McDonald speaks for itself, teenager who was shot 16 times, and a lot of cover-up was involved by the police. Eric Garner, Trayvon Martin, and the list goes on and on. The killing of George Floyd, however, seemed to be the boiling point. And this morning, as I said before, it would have been almost impossible for me to speak to you without speaking on the subject that has occupied our attention, at least for the last 5 or 6 days. As a result of the killing of George Floyd, there have been protests right across the United States, from the East Coast to the West Coast. And then there have been, as a result, lootings and destructions, you name it. Truly, we're living in a time of chaos. I'm reminded by the words of the great American poet. His name is Thomas Paine, who was staunchly anti-slavery. And in describing the American Revolution that was about to start, he wrote, "These are the times that try men's souls." And that certainly describes the environment in which we now live. The question is, what needs to be done? And perhaps the answer depends on who you ask. There have been many times in the history of God's people, the Israelites, when they faced certain dilemmas. And they had to consult God because they had no idea what to do. And we know what the Bible says, that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. During the time of King Zedekiah, the king of Judah, Jeremiah was imprisoned. And while he was in prison, he was consulted by the king after some days in prison and asked the question to Jeremiah, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah responded by saying, yes, there is. Jeremiah 37 and verse 17. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever lost a friend because you had to tell him or her something that was important but uncomfortable? Well, you are not the only one. Jesus Christ himself lost many because of the message that he brought. The Bible tells us that in the passage that Brother Goldman read for us, that Jesus Christ was preaching and teaching on the matter of him being the bread of life. And if anyone partakes of him, they will have eternal life. He was not only misunderstood, but he was hated as a result. The Bible tells us that in verse 66 of John 6, that from that time, many of his disciples walked with him no more because they just didn't like his message. But look at what Jesus Christ said in verse 63. He says, what I'm presenting to you are the spirit and the words of life. So whether or not we like his message is what man needs today. But the Bible tells us that the disciples responded, many of them responded to his message by saying, these are hard sayings. Who can understand them? That's what I want to speak to you on this morning. These are hard sayings. Because during this time, my friends, I have sat down and I've tried to figure out what are the answers in dealing with the ills of our society and the present dilemma facing the United States, and I dare say many other countries across the world. And I'm not here to give you my opinion. I don't want to bore you and waste your time with that which is irrelevant. But I think that it's time that we take a step back and ask the question, is there any word from the Lord on this matter? And I say resoundingly, yes, there is a word from the Lord. There is a message from the Lord. But brace yourself, because these are going to be hard sayings. You see, we gravitate towards people who will say things that make us feel comfortable. But we shy away from those who will tell us the things that are hard and the things that are uncomfortable. So let us see, what message does God have for those in authority today? What is the message to those who are in authority, from the federal government to the state government to our local government and to just about every aspect of the society? What message does God have for each government and each person who is in authority in regards to how the citizenry is treated? Well, in Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, and verse 1, the Bible tells us something rather important regarding every government that exists. Romans, the 13th chapter. And look at verse 1. And look at what Paul says.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
The powers that be have been installed by God. Though had it been you or I, we certainly would not have installed certain governments. But then, we are not God. And here Paul says that the powers that be are ordained of God. Herod told Jesus, had to be told by Jesus, that the power he got in John 19 and verse 11 didn't just come about. that the authority and the power that Herod, King Herod, had came from a certain source. Look at verse 11 of John the 19th chapter. What does it say?
Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin."
So the power that Herod had, because Herod was bragging that he had authority to crucify Jesus Christ or not to crucify him. And Jesus Christ said, hold on a minute here. You would not have had that power had it not been given to you by my Father. So therefore, rulers and leaders must understand that the authority they have was given to them by God and needs to be used wisely and fairly. You see, rulers and leaders may not be godly, but at the very least, they are to be guardians of justice and equality for every single one, especially the poor and the oppressed. And so those in authority, they have a mandate, and that mandate is recorded in Amos chapter 5 and verse 24, where God says, "Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." In other words, their job is to ensure that justice flows through every length and breadth of the society. As we have often heard the saying, justice delayed is justice denied. And those in authority are to ensure that they become the bulwarks of justice in the society in which they rule. Authorities must always keep in mind that there's a thin line between calm and chaos. We have had 5 days and nights of chaos and destruction in this country, which is a stark reminder, friends, stark reminder that it takes only a spark to get the fires of outrage and anger going. And so when the gap between the haves and the have-nots continue to widen, express the fires of outrage to blaze even more. When the wheels of justice grind slowly for those who are poor, for minority, but swiftly for the rich, expect that there's going to be an explosion of anger right across the society. As one man says, injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. When people feel like their voices are not being heard, the results will be devastating. It was Maya Angelou who said, "There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside of you." In other words, when you don't get a chance to express what you're feeling inside, when nobody is willing to listen to you, when you have no avenue with which to voice your concern, expect that there's going to be an explosion sooner or later. The Declaration of Independence, considered to be a most sacred document here in the United States. Do you remember what it said, at least part of it? It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." That document really is only as sacred as when it is implemented and carried out and followed within the society. But then, especially for those in authority, these are hard sayings. These are hard sayings for those in authority, from the federal to the state to the local government, because when people get into power, at least some, they oftentimes forget about why they were given the power and how they are to use it, oftentimes because of pride and selfish motives. But these are hard sayings. But these are what the scriptures teach us. May I also say to you that there's a word from the Lord, not just for the authorities, but for the people of God. Because I really believe that Christians during a time like this feel almost powerless. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. And so they end up doing nothing because there's a feeling of bewilderment. What should I do? What should I say? Who am I to make a difference? But contrary to what we think, we have a responsibility or responsibilities as God's people, especially in times as this one. So what is the message to Christians? As much as Jesus was oftentimes overlooked or flocked by people, he was flocked wherever he went. He was regularly misunderstood. He was regularly hated because he taught things that were unpopular. People didn't like them. Well, what am I talking about? Well, Jesus Christ, through his inspired apostle Paul, said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And in light of what is happening, you look and see what Timothy is saying in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. What does it say?
I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
No, did you see that? For those in authority, for kings, for rulers, supplications and thanksgiving must be made for them. But did you notice a lot of part of that? That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. In other words, we pray for those in authority that they will have policies and laws in place that will enable us to live a peaceable and quiet life. In other words, God is saying that instead of turning our backs on those in authority, instead of merely criticizing them, we must also be engaged in prayer so that these men and women will have policies and laws that will empower us to live the kind of life that God expects us to live. Pray for those. Listen to this now. Because Jesus Christ kept on giving us some hard sayings. He said we should pray for those who despitefully use us. In Luke 6 and verse 28, in other words, despitefully there really means cruelly. In other words, anyone who treats us in a cruel manner. Listen what it says in verse 28 of Luke chapter 6.
Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you.
I am saying that the word despitefully means in a cruel manner. What should we do? Bless them. And also pray for them. I'm sure by now you would agree with me that that's a hard thing to do. But no wonder the disciples turned to each other and turned to Christ and said, oh, these are hard sayings. These are hard sayings, my friend. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44, as Jesus continued his sermon, his lengthy sermon on the mount, again, he said something that caused us to feel uncomfortable. Verse 43 and 44, what does it say?
Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you.
No, my friend, I am not making this thing up. It is right there in the Holy Scriptures. And I know that this goes against our grain, our human nature. I know that even right now, you are just bubbling with anger. And here Jesus Christ is saying, love your enemies. I thought that you should empower yourself with weapons in dealing with your enemy. But these are hard sayings. There seem to be the view that the best way to deal with hatred is to respond with hatred. Martin Luther King, I think, was onto something when he said, hatred cannot drive out hatred. Only love can do that. But he was only echoing what Jesus Christ has already said in the scriptures. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, what did Paul say about how we should treat each other? How we should, you know, respond to each other without specifying who? Listen what he says in verse 32 of Ephesians chapter 4.
And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Notice there that our forgiveness, which we sorely need on a daily basis, is contingent upon us being willing to forgive others. Now, am I telling you that this is easy to do at all times? No. It's not. Especially when the hurt and the wound is still fresh. And yet still we are to be kind to one another. And we are to be tender-hearted and forgiving. It is no wonder why the disciples said in Luke 17 verse 5, Lord, increase our faith. Because the level of faith that we have oftentimes cannot deal with these hard things. We can't. Jesus Christ went on to tell us that we must go the second mile for someone. Don't just do what is enough and that's it, but be willing to do that and then some. In other words, go the second mile in Matthew 5 and verse 41. That's what he said. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 instead. Not easy. But can I say this? We can only make a difference when we are prepared to do things differently. Only. We are filled with anger. I'm filled with anger by what we saw happen to George Floyd. Let us not fool ourselves. The anger is there because we saw it on video. Can you imagine the many others who suffered worse, if not the same kind of fate? It is understandable that we're angry. But God knows what man's anger can do. And that is why he said in Romans 12, verse 19, he said, vengeance is mine, mine. I will repay. That's what he said. Because he knows that what man's anger can do. When people get angry, they lose control in most instances. God says, I'll take care of it. But the question is, until then, should we remain silent? Should we just go in some secluded room in our home and just sit down and mope and groan? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Silence, my friend, is not an option. It's not an option. It is time that we speak up and speak out against injustice and against corruption, because silence is not an option. It is time that you prepare to go to the ballot box. That's one way in which you speak. That you get involved in your in clubs and in civic groups that can help make a difference. It is time that you write to your representative or make a call to them. But you have got to do what is necessary. If you have to protest, then protest. But we are mandated to do so in a peaceful way. We are not of those who will loot and destroy. No, that is not representative of who Christ is. Martin Luther King Jr., in a letter from a Birmingham jail in 1963, in April 16th, he wrote this: we will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the hateful words and actions of bad people, but for the appalling silence of the good people. Say that you don't want to get involved is nothing but a sin. because we have got to be involved in helping to reach out to those who are oppressed, not only when we are being oppressed, but when others are being oppressed. Because sooner or later, it will be at your doorstep. Sooner or later, it will be maybe your child or mine, or your grandchildren or my grandchildren. It will happen. These indeed are hard things, in that they go against our human nature.
Jesus Christ is the
words of life. So those in authority, while we criticize them, we must pray for them. Our responsibility is not just to pray for them, but to speak out against the corruption and the inequality that is so pervasive in our society. Because if we do nothing, evil men will continue to run riot and will be rampant throughout the length and breadth of the society. May God give us the courage. May God give us the wisdom. May God give us the gumption that is needed and the backbone that is needed to stand up when others find it more convenient to sit down. We know that sometimes it will not be convenient. We know that sometimes it will be hazardous doing so. But the greater good is what should be our motivation. Indeed, these are hard sayings. If you're not a faithful child of God, I encourage you, my friend, to do that today. Because unless you are truly connected to Jesus Christ, you will always feel bewildered and perplexed in dealing with life's problems. But faithful children of God, trust and depend upon the words of Jesus Christ, especially in times like this one. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, we encourage you to become a Christian. Romans 1 verse 16 says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And if you believe that message, then you must be willing to repent of your sins, Acts 3 verse 19. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10 verses 9 and 10. And be baptized in water, Acts 2 verse 38, Acts 22 verse 16, so that your sins can be forgiven. And remain faithful unto death, and even until Jesus Christ returns. Let us pray. Father in heaven, so many are grieving today, O God. But especially the family of George Floyd, who over and over again have had to go through the agony of seeing their loved one being murdered on a video over and over again on the news, on Facebook, wherever. And this will always be for many years to come, be there. And we can only imagine the pain it brings to his family and friends. But more so, Father, to minority across this country and across this world. Lord, we pray for those who are hurting. We pray for the good police officers who are trying their very best, Father, to make a difference. And we're very mindful that in every aspect of society, they are the good apples or the bad apples. Help us, Father, as your children, to make a difference wherever we may be, but not to turn a blind eye, because apathy is nothing but a sin, especially in these times. Strengthen us, I pray. Assure us of your divine presence, that we are not alone when we need to stand up, because you are standing with us. Bless this country, O God. Bless those in our authority. Bless the church. Bless, Father, those who have responsibilities that can make even greater differences. But may we never relent from praying to you and seeking your assistance and your wisdom in making a difference. Father, it's in your Son's name that I pray. Amen.